This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast, the latest Indiana farm news, markets, and weather on March the 12th, 2025. Hello, I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller checking in with the news today, including a preview of the upcoming National Ag Day next week, including a special event near the Indiana State House. And the United Soybean Board is promoting high oleic soybeans, possibly for feeding dairy herds. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says look for sunny, dry, and mild Indiana weather to continue. And yesterday, grains and oil seeds mostly lower, nearly steady. Arlen Suderman, market analysis coming up on the Hat Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Indiana's ag community coming together for National Ag Day and growing high oleic soybeans for dairy producers. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. National Ag Day is fast approaching. It's Tuesday next week. That's also the day that Indiana's ag community is coming together to host an event at the Indiana State House. C.J. Miller has the story.
The Farm to Capital event is hosted by Indiana's Family of Farmers, which is a collaborative organization of Indiana's agriculture groups.
And that's Jeffrey Deutschman with the Indiana State Poultry Association. The Farm to Capital event is Tuesday, March 18th from 11 to 4 at Bicentennial Plaza. And that's between the Indiana State House and the state government centers in downtown Indianapolis.
There's going to be booths and displays from all the ag groups and food trucks. So basically you can come out, get a bit of education, see what is going on in ag in the state, and stay for a bite to eat.
Becky Yonaskan is president of the Indiana State Poultry Association. And she says the event also gives the ag industry another opportunity to get in front of state lawmakers to show the importance of Indiana agriculture to the state's economy.
The statistic is that Indiana's agricultural economy is equivalent to the size of our automobile manufacturing. And so to really get a good understanding of who those people are and what their needs and concerns are is very important.
For example, Yonaskan points to the state's turkey industry and says that Indiana ranks fourth in the U.S. for turkey production.
The turkeys that are produced in Indiana are not typically the turkeys that end up in the middle of your Thanksgiving table. They are processed. So the white turkey breast meat goes to premium deli meats. And we've got manufacturing for that right here in the state of Indiana. So when you're eating turkey deli meat, you are likely eating a product that never left the state borders.
The Indiana State Poultry Association is one of many different ag groups that you'll find at the Farm to Capital event Tuesday. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
Thank you, C.J. Hoosier Ag Today will be there as well on Bicentennial Plaza, helping to fight hunger with the Million Meal Movement. We'll be packing meals out there on the plaza. Come join us for Farm to Capital at the State House. It's all about moving that soybean pile for the United Soybean Board, and this part of the U.S. is really big on growing high oleic soybeans. Susan Watkins, a Virginia soybean farmer, is chair of the Demand Action Team and the board secretary. She and her team are looking into the potential of feeding high oleic soybeans to dairy cattle.
Yeah, when high oleic soybeans came on, we were focusing more towards the oil content for maybe some human consumption for cooking oil. In 2017, it actually started with Pennsylvania doing some research with dairy herds, and that's where we're going to now. USB has invested throughout the years for high oleic, and now we've got this really great project to get a better return at the dairy farm also. It's healthy, it goes through a roasting process, and it brings more butter fat. And for the farmers, they will see a return on their investment by using this product.
They're seeing great results so far, but the project is going to require some more research.
We're working with nutritionists, also animal nutritionists, And they're doing testing and research all the time, and we have to educate the dairy community that this is a new product for them. And they may be able to grow it on their farm and do their process on the farm, or they may have to buy it from another person. But it's a good opportunity for them to make more money and have a healthy herd.
You can find more information on that research at unitedsoybean.org. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Sunny, mild, dry, that's what we're dealing with for the next 3 days still. Your Wednesday looks great, mild air in play, and we see strong southwest flow coming back to finish the week tomorrow through Friday. There's a minor disturbance coming out of the Missouri Brute Heel into the Tennessee Valley tomorrow into early Friday. So I think you have to watch for a little bit of cloud cover in southern parts of Indiana. Do I think it triggers moisture? At this point, no, I do not. And Friday is going to be very warm as strong southwest flow happens everywhere. That's ahead of our next frontal boundary that comes in as we move through Saturday. Rain and thunderstorms are possible. The first initial push is going to be just rain, but I think there can be a secondary surge of thunderstorms, maybe even some strong thunderstorms in southern and eastern parts of Indiana late Saturday evening into early Sunday morning, so pay attention for that. All in, all done, rain totals without thunderstorms, 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch. If you see thunderstorms, you can easily go over an inch, maybe push to 2 inches in spots. So that's the difference between having the thunderstorms in southern Indiana and not heavier rains. Going into the balance of the weekend, cold air comes in behind that weather system for Sunday. Temperatures are a bit below normal for Sunday, and we're still chilly to start Monday before temperatures moderate Monday afternoon. Mild for next Tuesday and Wednesday. Significant area of low pressure kicks out of the western Corn Belt and Central Plains for next Thursday. Coming across Indiana, I think we're looking at anywhere from 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch once again. Coverage around 80% of the state. The low passing a little bit to our north and west, but that low does draw down significant cold air to finish next week, Thursday evening through Friday and into early Saturday. Temperatures bounce again before another round of moisture comes late in the month, and that moisture can open the door to much colder air as we get ready to start April as I look farther out. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine. You're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Up and down in corn and beans, but fairly flat all day long. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. All the final numbers coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I secured that at the end of the session from Arlen Suderman of Stone X. USDA world supply and demand estimates out at noon Eastern time on Tuesday. Not much was expected, and Arlen, it appears not much was forthcoming from USDA, and the markets had a very quiet day really before and after the report.
Yeah, really pretty disappointing because USDA kind of continuing to kick the proverbial can down the road with the U.S. corn and soybean balance sheets. They really need to be increasing their corn export target. They could actually bump their ethanol use number as well. Of course, feed usage will hinge on the stocks numbers to be released at the end of the month. Soybeans, they could bump soybean exports a little bit, but they really need to be looking at cutting domestic use of soybeans. So either they don't know what's happening on the biofuel production level, or they're trying to ignore it and hope the problem goes away, one of or the other. And they did neither right now. They say that they're not applying any changes to the balance sheets, based on tariff policies until tariffs are enacted. And the tariffs against Mexico currently are not enacted. They're paused until April 2nd. Well, if that's the case, then why are they not increasing export target? And we're so far above the pace where we need to be to hit USDA's target that a 50 to 75 million bushel increase could easily be justified. And that's just a portion of what we'll probably eventually see, bringing those ending stocks down, and that could certainly boost our price prospects for farmers if they were to do so. Wheat, we did see a reduction of 15 million bushels on exports, but along with a 10 million bushel increase in imports. So that raised ending stocks by 25 million bushels. World wheat stocks rising while corn and soybean stocks decreased. But outside of that, the market's kind of sliding lower into the end of the day's trade.
You said kick the can down the road. So how far down the road are you talking about? A month from now or the end of month reports that are so important? Is that when you expect to see some major numbers coming from the agency?
Well, I think we'll see some major numbers with the planting intentions numbers and the quarterly stocks numbers on March 31st. But I think USD also needs to do some major changes to its export target in the April balance sheet that comes out in April, the MOASD report, and try to do that before the May report, which is going to be busy enough with the new marketing year balance sheet. So I had hoped that they would take care of that previous to this. They still have not done it. Let's hope they take care of it in April.
But again, those end of March reports are important every year. When does the trade really start to focus in on that? Now or a little bit later in the month?
I think they'll be focusing on it for now, primarily the acreage numbers. We already saw USDA's acreage numbers in the outlook form. Those were purely based on modeling, but private surveys are taking place now. We're going to see more and more of those coming out ahead of that report. USDA has been surveying farmers over the last week to 10 days. Those results will be announced there on March 31. And I think the acreage number has the potential to be a significant surprise this year and could really be a market mover in either direction, either higher or lower.
Arlen Suderman commentary. Arlen is with Stone X. This segment is powered by Purple Wave Auction. Purple Wave makes buying and selling used ag equipment easy. For more information, visit purplewave.com. On the Hat Tuesday market review, just a little lower at the end of trade as May corn dips a penny and three quarters down to 470 and a quarter. July a penny and a half down, 477. September also down a penny and a half, 449 and three quarters. Quarters. May and July bean contracts lose 2 3/4, also moving from higher to just below even by the end of trade. May contract 10.11 and a quarter, July 10.25 and a half. August down 2 1/4 at 10.23 and a quarter. Lower all day, Chicago wheat. May ends at 5.56 and 3/4, a nickel and 3/4 down. Meat markets lower too. April live cattle 199.55 down $1.02. April lean hogs 86.55 down $1.75. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.